Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1980, with a release date of Friday, October 9th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams step up to assist in South Carolina's biggest flooding since Hurricane Floyd. The Islands on the Air website deals with a security breach. Boy Scouts around the world prepare for the 58th Jamboree on the air, and organizers ponder the future of the Dayton Hamvention. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1980, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
We begin this week with breaking news as the Carolinas continue to struggle with record-setting floods. In South Carolina, a coordinated network of ham radio operators has been blanketing the state to protect public health, safety, and communications. Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, here's the details from Tom Ashton of the South Carolina Healthcare Emergency Amateur Radio Team.
Columbia, South Carolina has been hit by record flooding due to extreme rains from the remnants of Hurricane Joaquin, which passed by earlier this week. 1 to 2 feet of rain has fallen over the past several days.
This area of Columbia, South Carolina is quite beautiful, and one of the things that make it so is the developers a long time ago took a creek that ran through there and pooled it in certain places, so most of these homes are waterside. Of course, right now, that's the problem.
That's emergency services ham radio operator Tom Ashton, W4THA, explaining how the beautiful development is now prone to flooding. How far does the flooding crisis extend there?
It extends from just a little bit north of Columbia to Charleston. Mileage-wise, we're probably looking at about 100 miles.
As of Wednesday morning, October 7th, what's happening right now?
It's getting heightened. I'm monitoring the South Carolina Web EOC from the Emergency Operations Center, and they just, in the last few minutes, have started a mandatory evacuation around another dam. I think there have been 11 dam breaches altogether so far.
What ham radio systems are in place for emergencies like this?
South Carolina is fortunate to have a system we call SC HEART. That's an acronym for South Carolina Health Emergency Amateur Radio Team. That was put together several years ago, and it works in conjunction with the state's public broadcast system. It uses the same microwave towers that the TV station uses around the state, which are quite extensive and cover just about every corner of South Carolina. So we have handheld coverage, if you will, from almost anywhere within the state through this linked repeater system using these microwave towers.
Give us an idea of the number of hams currently involved.
There's a lot of hams that have been operating out of their homes that have joined the networks using the linked repeater system, as well as hams within their own counties communicating on separate repeater systems that are local to them. I would say there's definitely hundreds of hams involved, maybe close to 200, in fact, across the state at any one time.
Have commercial communication systems been working?
We thought there was going to be a loss of some cellular service yesterday as floodwaters have kept crews from being able to get in and refuel some of the generators at the bases of some of these cellular towers, as well as then the equipment racks below the towers has also been in jeopardy. Fortunately, that did not happen, and amateur radio was not called on to replace a regular communications channel. So we're just there primarily as a backup at this time. The SC HEART system is designed specifically so that each county, under the auspices of the Ares Emergency Coordinator, can communicate among itself and to someone that's usually stationed at that emergency county emergency coordinator's facility. They, in turn, relay traffic to the state, which is where my crew has been, at the State Emergency Operations Center. By the way, there are UHF repeaters as well. Each site has a VHF repeater and a UHF repeater. And the UHF repeaters are also linked across the state. And they've always been pretty much reserved for health emergencies. All the hospitals within the state of South Carolina and other healthcare units have a ham on staff or have been trained. A number of technician licenses have been won by people in the healthcare facilities within the state. They have radios set up at all of the hospitals so that in the event of a major communications failure, landline or cell cellular or what other device, we've still got communications with all of them. Our guys have been doing a good job and have been very diligent and very helpful.
The words of Tom Ashton, W4THA, who along with several hundred other hams are prepared to lend communications assistance in an area hit by record flooding in the Columbia, South Carolina area. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With seasonal storms very much in the headlines and weighing on everyone's mind, the National Weather Service is looking for Connecticut area radio amateurs to train as weather watchers. A Skywarn course is being held on Tuesday, October 13th to teach proper reporting of hazardous conditions to relay to the Weather Service. Skywarn's national network of volunteer weather spotters will provide the training and certification following the class in the East Hampton, Connecticut Middle School Library. Trainees will learn to report developing thunderstorms as well as assess weather conditions such as heavy snow, rain, and flooding. Those completing the course receive a spotter ID card and a certificate. The course is sponsored by the East Hampton Community Emergency Response Team and the town's Emergency Management Department. Seating is limited to 70. To register, send an email to weather@easthamptonct.gov and include your name, phone number, and email address. In the latest in a series of online security breaches affecting hams around the world, the Radio Society of Great Britain reports a breach that has affected users' passwords on the website for RSGB's Islands on the Air. A bug in the online code was apparently exploited, allowing the intruder to reset the passwords of all the website's users, which prevented anyone from logging in. Immediately following the September 27th breach, IOTA issued a statement of reassurance saying, quote, "There is no sign in the system logs that any data was read or that personal data was compromised," end quote. The website has been encouraging users to change their passwords and to contact them directly with any additional concerns. More than 1 million scouts all across the globe will be looking to connect with fellow scouts by way of amateur radio for the 58th Jamboree on the Air, sponsored by the World Organization of the Scout Movement and the Boy Scouts of America. The event runs October 16th through the 18th. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has our report.
It is still the largest scouting event in the world. Last year, some 1.3 million scouts took part, and they were spread among 157 countries. Jim Wilson, K5ND, who is the national coordinator for JOTA activities for the BSA, says the concept is simple.
It's really to get scouts engaged in conversations with other scouts around the world so that they're being exposed to other cultures, other ways of doing scouting, and even the seasons of the year that are different in different countries. It's springtime in Australia as it's fall here in the U.S.
Ed Wilson says it requires licensed ham radio operators to make all of this happen.
As amateur radio operators, we feel it's a big opportunity to introduce the technology and the fun and just the magic of amateur radio to have those conversations.
He says the event activity will be spread across many bands and many modes.
Primarily single sideband, but Echolink, D-Star, Digital Mobile Radio, DMR, is open, IRC, and those kinds of modes. And a growing interest in moon bounce. There's some EME stations, a very large one in the Netherlands. There's a big one in South Africa that get on the air for Jamboree on the Air, and a few here in the U.S. as well.
Wilson says many of the successful JOTA operations across the U.S. are tied into traditional camping events.
The really successful events go to where the scouts are, and that's typically at a big camperee. Ideally, it's a council or district-wide camperee, and it becomes one more activity for the weekend to introduce scouts to amateur radio and as well the rest of the world.
Wilson says there are many registered volunteer scouters who are also licensed hams who set up stations to help scouts communicate. He says it doesn't have to be at a camperee either. It can be even at a home station. There's also an internet component to this event. You can learn more about JOTA and Jamboree on the internet by going to our website, www.arnewsline.org, and clicking on the script link and following the story to two links for the event. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Philadelphia.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KB9 WSL repeater in Rochester, Indiana, following Thursday's 7 p.m. weekly net. A published report in Dayton, Ohio has cast doubts on the location of next year's Dayton Hamvention. An October 2nd report published in the Dayton Daily News notes that this global gathering of more than 25,000 amateurs, which infuses the local economy with $8.5 million each year, may face relocation from Hara Arena. Hamvention has been held there since 1964. It is no secret that the arena has been beset with financial challenges in recent years. Emails obtained recently by the newspaper raise questions about the arena's future and describe how city and tourism officials are scrambling to compile alternative sites to keep Hamvention in the Dayton region. An August 26th email from Dayton Convention Manager Michael Cashman to one Dayton official described the prospect of holding Hamvention 2016 at Hara as, quote, highly unlikely, end quote. Cashman's message reported that the Dayton Amateur Radio Association had already been given tours of such alternative venues as the Dayton Convention Center and the Dayton Airport Expo Center. But Jim Tiderman, N8IDS, General Chairman of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, has been downplaying the somber prospect of relocation. Tiderman says the board does not foresee any relocation unless, quote, something catastrophic, end quote, happens. And the Dayton-Montgomery County Convention and Visitors Bureau agreed this is not the first year that alternative sites have been put on the table for Hamvention. Meanwhile, it's business as usual, as planning sessions continue for Hamvention 2016. The Dayton gathering is set to run May 20th through the 22nd. Who knows how to party better than New Yorkers? And with the state's 62 counties at the ready, the New York CUSO Party gets on the air October 17th and 18th for as much activity as possible, especially on 40 and 20 meters. New York hams are extending a special welcome for mobile and QRP operators. Hams around the country working on SSB, CW, RTTY, and other digital modes will be looking to connect with any and all New York stations county by county. There's even an entry class for rookies to face off against other rookies. That class is open to any ham licensed since January 1, 2012. Visit www.nyqp.org for the full details. And let's get this party started. The New Yorkers are waiting. The Military Convoy On the Air special event is rolling into its final week. Since mid-September, members of the Military Vehicle Preservation Association have been following the path of the 1920 Transcontinental Convoy west from Washington, D.C., with ham radio operations happening all along the way. The vehicles and the special stations all come to a definitive halt on Saturday, October 17th, when they reach their destination in San Diego, California. The convoy has been making its way along the old Bankhead Highway convoy route, a precursor to the modern interstate highway system. If you haven't been along for the ride yet, there's still time to make a clean sweep, connect with the host station, bonus stations, and earn a special certificate. Visit www.convoyontheair.org for more information. The number of licensed amateurs in Australia has fallen. According to the Australian Communications and Media Authority, there are almost 400 fewer license holders this year than in 2014. Most of the losses are the result of canceled call signs and silent keys, many of them amateurs who got their licenses following World War II. Even Australia's most populated states, New South Wales and Victoria, reported a decline in licensed amateurs. In all, there are now 14,748 ham radio operators in Australia, down from 15,141 in 2014. The country is seeing prospects for growth, however. Australia is creating opportunities for newly licensed amateurs through the establishment of a foundation license, an entry-level gateway for operators, and the Wireless Institute reports prospective radio amateurs are still coming on board, even after having failed under the previous novice license system. The Institute's Jim Linton, VK3PC, says the WIA has also been encouraging clubs and trainers to step up recruitment. JK4ZLE will be active as 5X2A from three different locations in Uganda from October 10th through the 19th. He is best reached in the evenings and or early mornings, Uganda time, and will be using CW and RTTY on 40 through 17 meters. Send QSLs to his home call sign, K4ZLE, by the Bureau or Logbook of the World. Oliver, EI8GQB, will be working as EI1A from a hilltop in Ireland for two contests, the Worked All Germany contest on October 17th and 18th, and the CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest on October 24th and 25th. He will continue to be active at all other times through the end of October under his regular call sign EI8GQB. The CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest will bring together some new Qatari licensees with more seasoned operators in a joint team for the contest on October 24th and 25th. Members of the Qatar Amateur Radio Society, Danish Contest Academy, and others will work from the Disaster Management Camp compound in northern Qatar. They will operate as A71A, with particular emphasis on the low bands. The CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest will also see some action from GIA 4L4WW, who will be on the air from Obcha in western Georgia on October 25th and 26th. GIA will work as a single-op, single-all, high-power entry, QSL via LOTW or via EA7FTR. He is not accepting any direct QSL cards. Planning for next month, German operators Manfred DK1BT, CG DL7DF, Reiner DL7KL, and Frank DL7UFR will be active as 5Z4HW from Kenya between November 4th and 18th. They will work 160 through 6 meters using CW, SSB, RTTY, and PSK31. Pilot station will be burned DF3CB. Send QSL cards via DL7DF direct or by the Bureau. Ham radio operators are no strangers to rescue operations in the face of storms, floods, or fires. But in Victoria, Australia, one ham en route to a Summits on the Air activation found himself engaged in an unlikely rescue. The SOTA activation itself. Peter Freeman, VK3PF, was driving to his destination peak when something went seriously wrong with his Subaru. He writes in his blog on WordPress, quote, "I heard something pop and the engine started sounding rough. As I was slowing down, I saw some smoke from under the bonnet. So I slowed down and pulled over just after the engine died," end quote. When he got out of the car to inspect further, he could see flames erupting. He quickly got on 2 meters and notified another ham en route, Tony VK3CAT, to get help. Then he jumped back into the car, hoping to toss his ham gear to safety, just as the flames combined with billowing black smoke. Peter continues in his blog, quote, "The flames got bigger, and that was it. Stand back and watch," end quote. By the time firefighters arrived, all that was left of the car was a memory. Peter lost the vehicle, along with a dual-band radio and 40-meter whip antenna. The hams were about to pack up and head home in Tony's car when they realized they were, after all, right there at the foot of the unactivated mountain. So, with Tony's ham gear in tow, they decided to take care of their unfinished business. How could they resist? Especially when that particular summit was conveniently named Mount Useful. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, AMSAT News Service, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, the FCC, Jackson Progress, Argus, Jim Linton, VK3PC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the New York CUSO Party, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, the Russian Digital Radio Club, the Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.